Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents 1913-1914, page 1534, slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Ruth Robertson, sworn for the Movant. I was a witness in the case of the people against Leo M. Frank, and on the morning of the day that I testified in the case, a police detective whose name I believed to be Bass, whose name was Bass, came to my house and conducted me to the office of Solicitor Dorsey. This was my first meeting with Mr. Dorsey. The meeting was in a room in a building that I believe is opposite, or in the vicinity of the building in which the trial was conducted. After being introduced to Mr. Dorsey by the detective, Mr. Dorsey greeted me effusively. He said he was glad to make that I had come down to see him, and that he was sure I would make a good witness and would help him out in the Frank case. He questioned me and talked to me in the room alone for about half an hour, beginning at about 8:30 o'clock. As I remember it, there was no proceedings in court on that day until later in the forenoon, at 9 o'clock, I believe. It was on Wednesday, but the date I do not recall. In the beginning of the conversation with Mr. Dorsey, he asked me to go ahead and tell him all I knew about Mr. Frank and Mary Fagan. I told him I knew nothing against or about Mr. Frank, except that I worked for him, and so far as I knew, he was a gentleman in every respect, or words to that effect. He asked me if I knew Mary Fagan, and I told him I did. He insisted that as I had worked at the National Pencil Company for a considerable time, that I must know something against the character of Mr. Frank, and asserted that he was a very bad man. I told him that I knew absolutely nothing against Mr. Frank's character. Mr. Dorsey insisted that I did, and persisted in the statement that he was of bad character. He asked if I had ever been in Mr. Frank's office. I told him that I had on several occasions, always on business errands, that is, errands connected with the work I was performing in the factory. He then asserted that I had been in Mr. Frank's office, with him alone, to keep dates for purposes other than business, to which I replied that it was not true. He finally openly insulted me by affirming that I had had sexual intercourse with Mr. Frank in his office, or some other room or place in the factory which Mr. Frank kept for the purpose of meeting girls, and he insisted that I knew the